All right, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4:2 to begin with. I'd like to look today at, well, the title is Faithful in Prayer. Looking at the importance of having a structured prayer life, we have all heard dozens of messages on prayer, but how is our prayer life? Are we faithful in prayer? Before we get into that, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for, Lord, coming to this earth to die for us, to pay our sin debt. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to come before you in prayer, to bring our requests, to bring other people before you. Lord, we're thankful for the promise of if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, there's so many promises. We thank you for them. We just ask that you would speak to our hearts now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 4:2. Let me get the right chapter here. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Are we, am I, are you faithful in prayer? Number one, the purpose of spending intentional time alone with God. Do we spend intentional time? You know, we could pray throughout the day, "Lord, help me do this, help this person." But the importance and the purpose of spending intentional time alone with God. Let's go to Ezekiel 36:26. Number one, so God can change us. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." This verse just reminded me of God, the work God wants to do, and that God can do in our hearts. Yesterday, as we were going out witnessing, I was checking my email, and my mentor sent an email out to his disciples, and it was about prayer. I'm like, "Oh, this is neat." And one of the points he brought out really spoke to me. I'll read some of that. It says, "We must never think of prayer as something we can or ought to master, but rather something that must master us." He goes on, we must not ever think that God is a machine. And if we say the right words and pray the right prayers and do the right things, I will get enough credit to cash in for a big request. We are dealing with a person, not a machine, and we are dealing with a relationship in which God is completely free of any need of us. Wow. God's free of any need of us. God doesn't need us. Why does he use us? But we need him. We need him to change us. It goes on, "For these reasons, we must guard against pride in our prayers or an attitude of control or demand. While Scripture is replete with examples of men crying out to God or reminding God of his promises, we must be careful to remember that an important aspect of prayer is for God to change me to be more like him as I spend time with him, and not me getting more control of God. I think we focus too much on me getting control of God. God doesn't need that. God's in control of everything. God wants to change us, and he does that through prayer. When we're spending time with him, seeking his face, he will reveal himself to us, reveal himself of who he fully is, and then that's where he can change us to be more like him. That's from Ben Muldoon. He's a missionary going to be a missionary to Romania. And he's the one that shared with me the prayer system that I will share in a minute. But now, number two, the purpose of spending intentional time alone with God, to bring our cares to the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The verse we all know. 1 Peter 5, and verse 7. "Cast not your care upon him, for he careth for you." So God wants us to cast our care upon him. Who else are we going to cast our care upon that truly cares? No one ever cared for me like Jesus, as the song goes. God cares for our smallest problem. God wants to bring them to him. Number three, imploring on the behalf of others. We need to pray for others. Another familiar verse, Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pastor mentioned this a few times last week about really praying for the saints, praying for others. And it says here, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we're not going to watch and pray with perseverance for all saints if we don't care. So do we care? And may God challenge us to care more and more for others. May we have the love of God. And again, it all boils down to whether we want to be like God and spending time with God so God can change us, so we will care, so we will have that love to care. Second point is the importance of prayer. Now, if I asked you, do you understand the importance of prayer? You would say, of course, prayer is important. I do it every day. But the true test is whether we spend time in prayer or not. I have a few quotes here that really spoke to my heart. One's from Charles Spurgeon. He said, a prayerless church member is a hindrance. He is in the body like a rotting bone or a decaying tooth. Yuck. Before long, since he does not contribute to the benefit of his brethren, he'll become a danger and a sorrow to them. Neglect of private prayer is a locust which devours the strength of the church. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? When you know you're in the camp of prayerlessness, you're hindering the work of Christ in the church. And as Charles Spurgeon said, you're becoming a danger, and you're going to become a sorrow to them, because lack of prayer leads to, ultimately, to death, a sorrow, death of some sort. So we don't want to be a danger. We don't want to be that decaying tooth, that rotting bone in the body of church. Which made me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. God's saying the members that seem to be feeble or unimportant are necessary. Each one of us in this church is necessary to God. God has a specific purpose, a specific plan, and a specific place for each one of us. And if we're not doing that, we're being a hindrance, not a help, a danger, a sorrow. Another quote from Corrie Ten Boom, which I'm sure most of you have heard of. She said, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. So often we put reading the Bible and praying, spending fellowship, they're all good things to do. All three important things to do to remain healthy in your Christian life. But Corrie Ten Boom is saying, when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Why is that? Because the devil knows that your prayer, that's where your power is. Because when you pray, you're trusting in God's power. It's not about us, and we know that. It's about God's power. And the devil hates it when we pray. And the devil has many things to stop us from praying. We'll look at that later. But I mean, it's through spending time with God in prayer that we receive the heart of God. Earnest prayer brings us back to having a spiritual mindset. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 2. If you're earnestly praying, God will bring things to your mind that are holding you back from having a clean life, as it were, a holy life, a spiritual mind. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our what? A life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." If you are spending earnest time with God in prayer each day, you will say, "When Christ, who is our life?" God is our life. That's where we get our strength. In verse 2, it says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." We are to seek Christ. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When we seek after God, when we seek after Christ, when we seek to be like Christ, we shall find him. When you search for me with all your heart. As the Bible talks about, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have more than one master. When you go before God in prayer, there's things we need to give up. And we cannot find God unless we search for him with all our heart, when we give our whole self to God. And point number three, structure to your prayer life. Let's go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Now, for years and years and years, I struggled with having a system, a tool, a prayer list, whatever you want to call it, to help me pray for the things I ought to. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Do you, do I, have a vision in our prayer life? What's your vision? What do you try to pray for each day? What are some things that you know you need God's help with? Do we have a vision? Quite frankly, if you don't have a vision for your prayer life, you will not be satisfied with your prayer life. According to a survey done by Ellis Research, whatever that is, just 16% of pastors are very satisfied with their prayer lives. The rest are either somewhat satisfied or not satisfied. 16%. Now, would you say you're satisfied with your prayer life? You don't have to tell me, but am I satisfied with my prayer life? That right there might give us a clue to the state of our churches. We're not satisfied with God. We're not satisfied with how much of God we have, in a way. Because our lack of prayerlessness, our lack of earnestness, and of course, you could say a lack of holiness, a lack of desire to be like Christ. I'd like to share with you the tool, you call it, that I use. I've shared this with Andrew, and I believe he's using it. So all it is a prayer box with index cards. And now, a year ago, I used to laugh at people with index cards. Gotta have a pile of index cards, like, what a mess, really? But since I've used this, I've come to appreciate those people. So when I pray every morning, I have preparation for prayer. And under that, I have things like verses that help. "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My flesh thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." So I have things like that, and there's some quotes in there, to help me get a desire to be like Christ, a desire to pray. Are we prepared to pray? The next section is pardon requested, acknowledging my sin, asking for forgiveness. I have verses in here like, searching, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And the next section is praise offered. I believe this should be huge, and we'll talk about this in a minute more, but praise should be a huge part of our prayer. God is to be praised. Here's a quote which I think has been said here before. Any man or woman on the earth who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. That's from Tozer. And then I have my dailies. Now in here, I'll go through each index card and I'll make a dash for how many times I've prayed for something. And this one is outlaw the barbaric practice of abortion. And so I write the date of when I started praying that. It's been such a blessing to see how long it takes to answer prayers. And some, I'm getting a lot of dashes. And I had a section here, which this section is not in the syllabus I received from my mentor, but it's Bible memory. I have a few verses in here that spoke to my heart, so I'm working on those. And then I have weekly, so I have a Sunday, Monday through Saturday, things I pray for weekly. The thing I love and really appreciate about this system is I can move things around. You know, with a prayer list that I struggled with for years, you know the list. After a week, let's say you start a new prayer list. After a week, you have the list memorized and you can do it in your sleep. And that was a huge problem. You know, the Bible says, use not vain repetitions. And that's what it was becoming, vain repetitions. The thing I love about the prayer box tool to pray is you can move things around. You can switch up the order. Every few days, I'll take my dailies and swap them up so I'm not praying the same order. And then I'll have my monthlies. Now, I personally have not used the monthlies because if there's something I need to pray about, I feel like I should pray about it. I feel like I should be earnest about it. So I'll put it in my weeklies or my dailies. But if you decide to use a prayer system like this, it's totally your preference. But then the back, I have a section of answered prayers. That's always a blessing to go through. Things like, heal brother Ray Ronk. And I prayed 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 37 times for that before God answered that prayer. And it's just, things like that are incredible to see. And then there's some, you could call them sillier things, but they're not silly. God cares about everything. He wants us to bring everything before him, but provide insulation I need to finish the garage. Give healing, so forth. Then I have requests adjourned. This is always an interesting one. I adjourned this one. It says, if it be your will, provide a soprano saxophone. Now, I adjourned that one because one day I was praying through I think I put that in my dailies first. It's like, wait a minute. That's just my idea. That's just something I want. Lord, I'm praying, if it be your will, Lord. So God really spoke to my part, Jesse. What if that's not your will? So God had me put that in there. Then I have praise items, prepared passages and points to ponder. Just things, I've made a few little notes, just points to ponder, things to think about, point me to Christ. So I would really encourage you, if you want the syllabus to this and how to put this together, I can send it to you. But I'm not trying to force this particular system on you. I'm just trying to say you need structure to your prayer. If you work good with a prayer list that pastors made, that's awesome. But you need to find, if we all need to find the structure to our prayer life that will help us. Because we're faulty. We run out of things to pray if we don't have something to remind us of all things to pray out very quickly. All right, let's go to Matthew 6. I mentioned this verse, Matthew 6, verse 7. Thinking about having structure, some sort of structure to our prayer lives. Matthew 6 and verse 7 says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking." This reminds me to the email my mentor Ben Muldoon sent me about us not mastering prayer, but prayer mastering us. For they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Use not vain repetitions. And that's the goal of having a structured, some structure to your prayer life, to not use vain repetitions. Let's see here. I might have something out of order here. No, that's right. Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 38. Matthew 26 and verse 38. Find it. And it says, "Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep." Excuse me. "And saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray thee enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we know how it goes. Jesus goes and prays again and comes back and finds them still sleeping. And he says, "Sleep on, for the Son of Man is betrayed," and so forth. The thing I'd like to point out is, why couldn't the disciples pray? Why did they fall asleep? Part of the reason, I believe, is because they did not have the vision that Jesus had. They did not see what Jesus was seeing. They did not foresee Jesus dying, but Jesus did. We cannot pray unless we have Christ's vision. We cannot pray according to God's will unless we see things how Christ sees things. The fourth point is the great enemies of prayer. This is something we have to look at, the enemies of prayer. And staying in the same passage, something that really fights against me, I'm sure it does you, is sleep. We see these disciples sleeping. When do you pray? For me, it's either late at night or early in the morning when my body wants to be sleeping. And that's something to fight against. The other thing that can be a great enemy is sin. Let's go to Psalm 66:18. Now, of course, we deal with sin through prayer. But if we regard sin in our lives, if we are harboring sin, it is a huge, no doubt the greatest enemy, the greatest hindrance to prayer. Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I guard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." How many of us want to be heard by God? I do. We all do. So if there's iniquity in our heart, if there's sin in our life, God will not hear us. We need to take care of it. We need to have a clean slate before God. Another enemy of prayer is the thorns of life. Let's go to Matthew 13. You'll see what I mean, the thorns of life. Matthew 13, 22. Matthew 13 and verse 22, Jesus said here, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now this is the parable of the sower and the seed falling among good ground. This verse is talking about the seed that fell among the thorns. It says, it is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unprofitable. How many times are we choked in our prayer lives by things of this world, things that are going on, busyness, even the riches. You know what? I am guilty of this as any of us, being choked at times by the deceitfulness of riches and the care of this world. The last point here is the heart of praise. The heart of praise. Looking at the importance of praise. Let's go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 30. This is something God's really been working on me about, is the heart of praise. And what is a true heart of praise toward God? Psalms 69, verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Verse 31, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Let the heaven and earth praise him. Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And in my own life, I have been guilty so many times, whether it's something, whether it's a great task that I believe I cannot do in my own strength. I would say, Lord, if you help me do this, if this works out, if this situation comes to fruition, I will praise your name. That sounds good, right? I'll praise your name if you do this, Lord. But what is the basis of that? The basis then is what God does for me. Lord, I'll praise you if you give me what I want. I'll praise you if it works out how I want it to work out. That's all wrong. We ought to praise the Lord for who he is, no matter what he does for us, through circumstance or blessing. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. You know, we have so much to praise the Lord for. For most of all, salvation. And why would we ever complain to God since he has saved us? Why would we complain? Why would we murmur to somebody that gave us so much? That'd be like having some rich man that gives you, let's say, a new house. He just gives it to you. And then a month later, you go complain to him about not having this or that. The rich man would say, what? But I gave you a new house. What more could you want? It was kind of that way with God. God's given us so much already. And when things don't go our way, apparently, we can complain. That's so wrong. So wrong. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Just thinking about being faithful in our prayer lives. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Do we have a wavering prayer life? From day to day, are we inconsistent? Now, of course, we're humans. We are. No matter how spiritual we get, some days are going to be better than other days. But a continual pursuit of God will help us draw closer to him. So just thinking about that, are we faithful in our prayer lives? And I'll run back through the points just to refresh our memory. What we look at, the purpose of spending intentional time alone with God. Number one, so God can change us. And we looked at God giving us a new heart. Another point into that is to bring our cares to the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Thirdly, imploring on the behalf of others, the purpose. Number two, the importance of prayer. We looked at how if we're not being faithful in prayer, if we're not praying for others, if we're not getting right with God on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, we are becoming a danger and a sorrow to the church. The third point was structure to our prayer life. And I really want to encourage you. whatever method, whatever tool works good for you, use it. And may the Lord help us as we use these tools. May they not become the thing, how do you say it, the thing that we're serving. We're serving God, and God's given us these tools, I believe, to help us be faithful to Him in prayer. Fourthly, the great enemies of prayer. And I'm sure you, each one of you, have different enemies that stand out to you for your prayer, that war against your prayer life. But we need to take these things captive and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Fifthly, the heart of praise. May God help us to praise God for all that He's done, no matter what He sends our way. No matter what He sends our way. And may we be faithful in our lives. And we all understand we need God's help. We cannot do it without Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it can speak to us. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and how, Lord, you speak to us. Lord, I thank you that we can come before your throne and cry out to you. Lord, we acknowledge that we greatly need you. Lord, we lack. We lack wisdom. Lord, we just lack everything. But Lord, we trust and we're so grateful that all we ever need is found in Thee, and that, Lord, You have offered it to us. Lord, may we reject all the riches, all the deceitfulness of riches in this world, all the cares of this life, and may we cast them at Your feet and say, Lord, You are in control. I trust in You. Lord, would You help us? Would You mold us? Lord, I do ask that You would help each one of us, Lord, to use the tools that You have given to each one of us to help us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we are faulty. Lord, we are sinners. We're flesh. Lord, we need Your help. Lord, I do pray for the many different services that are going on today. I ask that You be with us, that You be with our missionaries and their services, that You would show us the fruit. Lord, we believe You are working. We're thankful for all that You've done and are doing in the lives of so many around this world. Lord, I do ask that You would show Yourself strong, and may the world, the lost souls, see Your power. And Lord, may they see it through us. And Lord, we want to be like You. And Lord, help us to be faithful in spending time with You and drawing nigh to You. And Lord, I thank You again for that promise. Lord, if we draw nigh to You, You will draw nigh to us. And if we seek You, we shall find You. Lord, I just thank You for that. Lord, I ask that You bless the next hour. Lord, continue to work in our hearts and speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.